An Animated Life, Chapter 2, Edging on Probabilities. Please support Distilled Waters, a mighty cause project against hopelessness and homelessness. It is essentially an emergency for the purposes of sustaining life and being able to work. Ensure your efforts are fully recognized, that the money goes into the right bank account. Thank you. All rights, including the right to reproduce this book in any way, shape, or form, belong to the author. No reproduction in whatever form or manner may be done without the prior consent of the author and publisher. An Animated Life. Copyright Edulogics. All rights reserved. Unlike natural atmospheric propensity, universal laws of physics have a habit of not entertaining the unexpected, the absurd. Atmospheric climate, for instance, has the habit for unpredictability more or less dependent on the atmospheric state of nature from one spatial-temporal moment to the other. I will use the term absurd here because it is eventually inevitable when we relate vectored space with universal laws. An absurd in space is some agent of spatial-temporal displacement relative to a definite causation without origination nor particulate destination. Clouds are absurd. Weather conditions are absurd. On the universal front, asteroids are absurds. Unlike universal laws, absurds are unpredictable and primarily effects. The absurd projects its own relativity sequences. Such, it has essential and historical feasibility. As it becomes universally impossible to pass an absurd for another alien to it, it becomes inevitable that an absurd must pass essential and historical feasibility tests. I take this moment to root the necessity for essential individuality because I believe mistakes are made in science, but none is costlier or deadlier than the science of identity. Essentializing identity must go beyond scientific postulates, beyond ego-driven toxic evolutionary conceptions comparing one human to another, trivializing one human's life relative to another. This is unnatural, ill-driven science that must be eradicated completely. All human life must be beyond evolutionary conceptions and postulations because these projections are eventually useless to all observable scientific traits on evolution. That is, depending on differing implications of states of nature, survival traits can never be mediated as specific. Traits are never truly observable when survival-dependent traits are designed by the unpredictability of states of nature within survivable environments. In other words, it becomes of richer spirit to inject humanity into science than science into humanity. Humanity and individuality are as much a measure of essential and historical life as well as essential and historical absurds. Absurds don't obey the law of effects. They never do. They are not natural phenomenon considerable for favorability or unfavorability. They are not open to choices. They are relative to causation strictly without choice. They are inevitable. Another essential trait of absurds we must stipulate is that they don't obey the laws of contraposition. It becomes impossible to stipulate a condition without rendering the procedural and factual necessity of its relativity sequences and inevitably consequences. It will be impossible to say if A then B and if not A then not B because it becomes impossible to say if A then B without A and B having the same relativity sequences. If A then A need not be said in projecting relativity sequences but must be necessitated in vectoral space for identity purposes. If A then B needs to be projected, B being a necessary consequent but not an intrinsic or sufficient one, B then A, the converse, cannot be stipulated. There are sometimes B, despite being referentially relative, may also be a contradiction. In that case, The moment there is a contradiction, there must be a consequential infraction. Consequential infraction of the like of strict identities inducts absurds for A relative to B. The consequential infractions in this case will be from the consequential spatial-temporal disposition upon which from A then B, A is not equal to B is resultant from a horizontal projection of A to B, and from a disposition upon which B is not equal to A is resultant on vertical projection downward from B to A. Here I must define probabilistic space relative to vectored space because we're still in it at the moment. Probabilistic space is not vectored space but rather a space made up of reactionary, counter-reactionary effects. Vectored spaces must know causation. If there is no essential life, it will be impossible to reckon momentum with changes necessitating the presence of life. Being something other, especially a contradiction to what you are, is unfavorable to essential being in probabilistic space. There is a real and vectored projection towards the very fulfillment of the genetic prescriptions of being. This cannot be cheated because it is a natural procedure. It is not alienable. It must occur for particular being to exist. The consequential infraction must inevitably cure it or remedy the non-essential identity towards an essential one. Every valid or validating reference point requires a prevalent self-intuitive working coordinate system for the dedication, depiction of positions and times to events in probabilistic space. In Chapter 11 of this book we will begin the journey to find such nature-made X-coordination. If life was taken from nature, nature must reclaim it every step of the way. Natural life must reckon with absurds. Meanwhile, in this chapter we are going to edge probabilistic space in two ways, edging and landing. In other words, our journey must comply with all spatial-temporal universal laws every step of the way. One dawn, at the height of the pandemic, the police harassed me out of my sleeping tent at a public forested space no one wanted to be in. I took my tent and anything I called belongings and hid it in a different part of the forested area. When I got back in the evening, there was nothing to speak of. It was going to snow that night. I had no clothing for cover, no shelter, nothing but the clothes I had on. It would go on to be one of the deadliest nights I spent in homelessness. My body, my physio-anatomical makeup, psychophysiological makeup was thrown into the gravest mass effective conditioning for environmental absurdity. Nothing I experienced, endured, could ever be thrown into some storybook category. My pain was acute, my mind felt like some psychosomatic hunting space for a billion and one nerve-ending parasitic viruses prevalent from their very own ineffectiveness. The snow, that absurdity in placement, was a negation for essential life. And it couldn't be truer in that moment as I survived not just the night but the snow as well. There were times I felt my heart could stop any minute just from the level of the absorption of cold my body suffered. But my body, knowing warmth from extreme natural spatial-temporal exposure to it, had to be the very body to own the absurdity of extreme cold. All the points that mattered was on me. If my body couldn't survive it on its own natural merit, I couldn't survive it. I survived it. There is tragedy unspoken when sanity stops to regress its steps, losing the moment of integrated embodiment to nothing at all in her history. And insanity welcomes a new synthetic faculty bordering that most indefinite fabric of catastrophic human event unrelatable to its causation. The defect has a history. It is a history of the machines or some progress dead to nature. Here I must digress as I must get back to life, back to the hardship of reality, of a homeless woman thrown out like trash and must now struggle to find herself differently than whoever she could have been. That woman was already dead. Let's engage in probabilistic reasoning for a few moments. Here we engage the probability of two trees falling close to my head from the east and from the west differently than we discussed earlier. The probability of an event occurring incurs a spatial-temporal probability value of 1 and it is always a positive number. The probabilistic space value for probability stakes equals 1. The number of objects will be 2 trees and there is only one event, the same event, falling. In how many possible ways can those trees fall, in consequent or antecedent order as effects, in numeric prior to later order and vice versa as events, or any other form of order-oriented eventualities possible here? When order matters, permutations, the result is 2. When order does not matter, combinations, it is also 2. We must invoke a binary system in spatial-temporal realistic environment. And because we have encountered negation resulting from consequential infractions, we must proceed with complex numbers and an ability to sustain them in space. We induce a root system with the absurd within the complex binary system with I squared equals 1, I2 equals 1. Remove the relative y in the complex equation so not to encounter a consequential infraction. Our base third dimensionality equation becomes z equals x plus xi. This is important because there is no xyz possibility. X is completely independent for this journey. Here is a very interesting way the science dictionary describes a binary system. A binary system is a system of two objects in space, usually stars, but also brown dwarfs, planets, galaxies, or asteroids, which are so close that their gravitational interaction causes them to orbit about a common center of mass. Some definitions, e.g. that of double planet, but not that of binary star, require that this center of mass is not located within the interior of either object. A multiple system is like a binary system but consists of three or more objects. To map this on a graphing calculator, we put in the equation and tip the scale all the way to minus 10 to get a feel of what's going on in the binary system. At minus 1, the indicator is completely flat on the x-axis. At minus 10, you will realize that X has made a move from the first quadrant to the second quadrant without any help whatsoever from the Y or parity with the Y. But the significant changes become even more noticeable when you take the derivatives and the limit of the derivatives. At minus 10 to minus 1 and minus 10 to 1, the limit to the derivatives are the same and they necessitate denominators. Nothing happens. At minus 10 to 2, something very interesting happens. We get minus 48d minus 48id, 48d 48id, with the derivative taken strictly with respect to x. X did this by her own merit, getting rid of the number 2 denominator. In fact, I was tempted to add the 2 together, ignoring the complex number factor, to get minus 106 to further validate 4th, 5th, and the extended 6th dimensionality possibility discussed in the book Ignorance and Polio Politics. What has happened here? X has made a move directly backing the positive y-axis to trace an arc relative to herself completely exclusive of y. This is very interesting, but it is the beginning of a work I am committed to in this book, to find a foundation for and sustenance of an identity retaining X coordination. This is important and we have more discussion on it as we prime for it in Chapter 11, Foundations for X Coordination. Meanwhile, the most important take on this chapter was probabilities, edging and landing, with landing being the most important of the two. This will be discussed further later, but here it doesn't matter if the trees fell concurrently, relatively, or consequently. This fact invokes a subtle paradox in that the probabilistic measure of the event is greater than the overall value of the probabilistic value space, which is equal to 1. It's like having two probabilistic value space, one on either side. This is what I term edging on probabilities for the purposes of our future explorations of physics. This is a second of an 11-chapter preview for this book. Please support Distilled Waters, a mighty cause project against hopelessness and homelessness. It is essentially an emergency for the purposes of sustaining life and being able to work. Ensure your efforts are fully recognized, that the money goes into the right bank account. Thank you.